The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Part two. This is a part two episode. This is the second half of an episode. Go listen to it if you haven't. Pause. We'll wait for you. We're waiting for you. We're still waiting for you. And we're not waiting for you anymore. This is Grey's Academy. My name is Carmen.
My name is still Kelsey, in case this is your first time ever listening. And we're thrilled to have you.
If this is your first time listening, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. We're doing great.
Now that we split these episodes into two, it's just like the second one just kind of jumps right out at you. Like, yeah. Hi, look at me. I'm an episode still.
Yeah. We are going to start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Clean. It's nobody. There's no one.
Gosh, fuck.
I was mad. There were a lot of people.
You know who I had my money on, though?
Wallace's mom.
The mom. What? Who?
Wallace's mom or Hillary's mom?
No, the baby's mom. The baby mom. And then the dad. Really, the dad looked so familiar.
Yeah, he did look really familiar to me. And I was like, there's
an episode of Scrubs where Dr. Cox has a friend who comes into town who has a kid. I'm not going to spoil the details, but it's his best friend from med school. And I thought it was the same guy, but it is not. It is not the same guy.
Yeah, there were a lot of people, and not a one in Shondaland. Not a one.
That feels... They must have all been jerks, because Shonda seems to be very kind about her living in Shondalands.
Yeah, it was really confusing to me.
Wow.
So, well, yeah. Not Wallace, not his parents, not Hillary, not her parents. Nobody, you know, just nobody.
Not even the fake baby.
Not even the fake baby.
So where do you want to start this episode,
Wallace's
then?
Wallace's dad wasn't an episode of Suits, though.
Oh, okay, cool. Cool.
Yeah. And Desperate Housewives. Let's start with, you know, it's a Arizona. I think this is when we're really going to get into the Arizona of it all.
Do you want to start kind of from the beginning and start with
Let's
Wallace?
Start at the very beginning. Very good place to start. Do you know what that's from?
Nope. Into the Woods?
Sound of Music.
Oh.
Okay.
Not Hamilton?
Nope. So at the very beginning, yeah, Arizona is asleep with Callie and she gets... Well, a pager goes off and she's like, oh, don't be mine. And it wasn't hers. She's like, yay, it's Callie's. And she
pushes her out of bed, throws her out
like,
of bed.
Get the fuck out of bed. They're paging you. And then immediately gets paged. So karma. But they both go in. She helps Alex with the pregnant lady mom and the emergency C-section. And then she goes to round on her Pete's people. And that's where you meet Wallace, who is so cute. Oh, my God. So
I think
adorable.
If you look up the definition of precocious, mm-hmm. it's just him. It's a picture of him.
Yeah, he's adorable. He's, like, doing rounds. He's doing math. He's been in the hospital for 7 months at this point. Straight. He's been in and out of the hospital his whole life, but he's been in the hospital for 7 months straight because he has short gut syndrome. His body like doesn't absorb nutrients and they keep having to like remove parts of his bowel and he like is prone to bowel obstructions and all this different stuff. And he's been like eating a feeding tube for God knows how long. Not a feeding tube, but like through the IV, I think.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Which I just like can't. I'm like, are you hungry?
I can't. I'm sitting here eating snacks.
I know. I'm like, I can't imagine being full and never having eaten. Like, that makes me feel sad.
Or
like, food is such a joy. Like, there are some people who simply eat because they have to eat to survive. I like,
we know one of them.
Love to eat. Yes, I'm married to one. I fucking hate it. We love food. We are foodies. I cannot imagine not having food.
Yeah. It's, and like,
it would bum me out. Like, food brings me joy. Like, it's not like, oh, I eat to feel things. It's like, I love eating and trying new foods and like finding new foods and sharing those experiences with people.
Yeah. It's also, there's something about when you taste a delicious flavor and you feel it now inside of you. Like like you've consumed it. It's in your stomach. Your body is digesting this delicious. I don't know. It's like a weird,
it's an experience.
It's almost, you can't even explain it. Yeah. It's for sure an experience. Which, by the way, there, when you come to visit, there's like, we need all you can eat sushi.
We have to.
I've been dying for sushi, and now Jessica doesn't really do sushi the way that I do sushi now, so I really can't even
How
go
does
with
she
her.
Do it?
Well, she wants the rolls, and I want the individual nigiris.
Mm.
You know, with the rice and the fish on top. Well, yeah, I mean, I will do both. I will sit
Has
there and
Marlo
just plow
eaten
through it.
Sushi yet?
She does the shrimp sushi. Like, she'll do the nigiri Kibora? With the shrimp on top.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Ew.
But the place that we go to has a lot of, excuse me, the other stuff. So, like, she gets the chicken nuggets and all that. But, oh, man, Sushi City. Gotta go.
We got one here.
I know. Too bad all of that is wasted on Michael.
Don't even get me started. He does love hibachi chicken, though.
Love That's that. Fair. And, oh, fuck yeah, I love hibachi. We did a Benihana for work dinner the other night, and it was great. What was I going to say about this kid? Also, so kind of a I wanted to throw it back to that scene where Arizona was saying, like, hey, this is how we do things on my rotation. It is magic. It is sunshine. It is rainbows. It's blah, blah, blah. And Christina gives, like, the thumb in the mouth vomit. I'm like, Christina, Hunt and Callie are right there.
Yeah. Superior, like, and you're not friends with the other two people. Who is that for?
Right. Learn some decency, because Arizona took you back onto her rotation after you lied to her. So, anyways, Wallace is cute kid.
Yeah.
And then we get the big, there's like a, they want a meeting with him. They said, hey, Arizona, we want a meeting with you, Weber, and Mr. Shithead.
Yeah. Larry and Weber. And he's like, oh, we want you in the meeting with us. And so Arizona goes, and Larry's like, you better not fucking piss these people off, because they fucking, like, immediately so negative.
I just hate him. I don't like this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he sucks. Remember when he had that thing in his penis?
No.
That already happened. I'm certain that already happened.
That was it. No, I remember there was a guy with, yeah, I do remember it, but like, I didn't remember that being him.
It's him.
Wow. I need to rewatch that episode.
That's early. That's like season 2 or 3.
Yeah. You didn't spoil that. I know what you're talking about. I didn't realize that it was him.
Yeah.
He was cheating on his wife. Something like that.
Yeah. He was having an affair with the like secretary.
Yeah. And the wife comes home because she thought he was on a trip in Mexico or something like that.
Yeah, he was on a trip in the Amazon with the secretary.
Yes,
and they were
Amazon.
Naked
yes,
in the Amazon.
There was a leech in his penis.
No, it was like a penis fish. Like, that's what it's called.
Oh, the penis fish, the spine fish.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, man. Mm. Don't go swimming naked in the Amazon. That's my only rule.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, Larry sucks. So the Andersons come in and they're like, you know, you've gotten Wallace so much further than we ever thought he would get. Like, we didn't think he would live till 9 and now 10. And, you know, this week he's going to be 11. And we want to give you $25 million, like, to the hospital as a donation, to specifically to the Peds department. So half to go towards research for short gut syndrome and the other half to just go to the Peds program. Which is a lot of money.
It's a staggering amount of money. You kidding me?
Yeah.
These are just humans. Unfathomable. These are just people.
And it's not like, because later on, Arizona's talking about it, and she's like, $25 million. Like, I knew they were rich, but $25 million, that's so rich. I'm like, they don't just have $25 million. They have enough that they can give $25 million away.
And it's okay. They're good still.
Like, what do these people do? I would like to do it.
They said that's... get a wing at a library named after you, go to the White House for dinner kind of money.
Yeah.
That's regularly. What that is.
Yeah, that's yeah. accurate. Yeah, it's wild times.
I don't think it's too much to ask. I need someone to donate me $25 million.
I'll take 2.5.
I'll take one.
I'll take 750 grand.
I'll take 100. I'll take 100K right now. Call
I'll
it a day.
$50.
I'll give you $50. Someone I need someone just to just let me
some
give them
food.
Champies and loopies delivered right now. That's all
and
I need.
Sushi City. I actually almost got Chipotle today, and then I was like, no, I don't need it. That's not a financially sound decision.
I've officially used all of my rewards from McDonald's, Chipotle, and Chick-fil-A.
I actually wonder if I have enough for Chipotle entree for free. Wait, my tomorrow might have just improved significantly.
All right, let's hear it. How many points do you have?
1,556 points.
No, not enough. Not enough. I think an entree is $16.75 or $18.75.
Oh, it's $16.25. I'm so fucking close.
Yeah. You have to get it tomorrow to earn the reward. Lunch still gets better for you for tomorrow. So, okay. They come in. Obviously, they're all flabbergasted. They're all like, $25 million? Yeah. That's a fuckload. Yeah. And in that scene, though, did you notice that Weber and Jennings looked at Arizona weird? Like,
yeah, I remember... thinking like, oh, it's going to be this weird plot point about like they can't donate the money because she said that it was a birthday gift for Arizona, even though it's not really. Like the way that they make their reactions when they say happy birthday Arizona, it makes it look like they're going to be like, oh, conflict of interest, like you can't take this money, right. You can't operate on this kid. But that's like not the plot at all. It was just like a weird moment.
Yeah.
And then Lexi, because Lexi is in the room when they say that Wallace and Arizona have the same birthday. And so she then says it later with Callie. And Callie's like, why the fuck does Lexi know when your birthday is and I don't? Which I think it's because I've always loved my birthday. I'm always intrigued by other people's birthdays. So it's like it's a question I ask very early on in friendships and relationships. And also, I guess now, like with the advent of social media, you can like see when people's birthdays are. Yeah. But I feel like this is such a trope in shows where one person like doesn't know that their significant other's birthday is about to happen. And they're like, oh, why didn't you tell me? I'm like, what? Why don't you ask?
I totally get that. I am not good with people's birthdays outside of those who are not Scorpios. I know your birthday because it's almost my sister's birthday.
Yeah.
But I'm not good with birthdays. I also know Scarlett's birthday. So like I don't know Michael's birthday. Is it June?
Nope.
April?
Nope. It's
September.
It's soon.
January.
It's February.
February 20th.
8th, 28th.
28th. That's right. He's a leap year. Almost a leap year, baby.
Yeah, I know. Except he wasn't born in a leap year, but yes.
He could have been, though.
He No.
Could have been Betty White.
No.
Could have been Betty White. So I want to talk about that house scene because I love the Mark, Lexi, Callie, Arizona dynamic.
Yes.
Oh my fuck. That's the show. That's the show that I want to watch. That's the spinoff I'm waiting for, is them just shooting the shit in the apartment. And then Hunt walks in and then Christina walks in.
Oh, and they're Callie's just like shelling out breakfast for everybody.
Absolutely. Like order up.
This is a dream scenario.
This is awesome. And then it's like, okay, so they have the thing about the birthday and Lexi's like, oh yeah, surprise party. Like, let's do it. And Mark is immediately like, no.
Yeah.
Like they're hostile and they are scary and they never do it.
Also, I read that, the way that it's shot, Christina is like in frame when Mark is talking and she's like nodding her head really aggressively, like agreeing with Mark. And that apparently was not scripted. She just like did that because she was like, this is how Christina would feel.
That's funny. I disagree. I want a surprise party. If anyone out there ever wants to throw me a surprise party, just do it.
I think the other argument that people make a lot for surprise parties is the planning of surprise parties makes the other person feel shitty. Because they make you have to be like, oh, we can't do anything on your birthday. Like I have like everyone, you know, is be like, I can't do anything on your birthday. I have plans. So then you're like, damn, no one fucking cares about my birthday.
I mean, that's fair. I think at this point, though, like I have not done anything on my birthday for the last 2 years since having a kid.
Yeah.
Well, you my birthday did. Has
it was
been
just also her birthday.
Right. Although I will say Marlo's first birthday was pretty dope, which was my 31st birthday, and I was pretty intoxicated, but it was great having all of my friends at the house. Yeah,
it was a great time.
Got to do that again. I think we got to do a rolling every year. We have to do a celebration of birthdays
in a different location.
traveling birthdays. Yeah. Oh, man. And then we got to do like a summer one to get all the summer birthdays out.
Me.
No one in August matters, though.
yeah, so they she does the surprise party and
couldn't have gone worse.
Mark was correct. Well, first, hold on. Let's backtrack.
Some shit happens in between.
A lot of shit happens.
From the donation to the surprise party, a lot of shit goes down.
So Arizona's like thrilled about this donation. Obviously she's working on the case still, but she's with this baby with Alex at some point. And, she goes to see Wallace and the mom's like, oh, he had a bad night. And so she tells Charles like, hey, rerun these labs. Cause I want to make sure we're not missing anything. It might be nothing, but I want to make sure. Unfortunately, it's not nothing. He has another bowel obstruction. And she's like, this is the end times. Like he's not strong enough for a surgery. He'll die. And they're like, well, I don't accept that. So fucking do the surgery because like I've put all this money into this. You think I want you to find a cure for some other kid? No, I want you to find a cure for my kid.
While selfish feels like a normal, like I would feel that way. I'm sure. Yeah.
And it's not like he's saying I don't want other kids to have a cure. He's just also saying I also want my kid to have the cure.
Yeah. 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 It's a natural parent reaction.
Yeah,
of,
for sure.
Don't fucking take my kid. This is crazy. Yeah.
And Weber makes the point of being like, these people don't hear the word no. So if you don't do this surgery, they're just going to find someone else who does. And so like, you know, he kind of, I think he's bullying her. I think it's like an abuse of power because of like the desire for this donation. And he's like, I believe you can do this. And I'm like, do you just want her to, you want it to be believable?
I struggled with how I was trying to think. And I don't know if there's like a blog post about the actual motivation for this scene or if they had any insight to Weber's actual kind of acting for this. But I will say, I actually felt like this was genuine. I feel like it's true.
He wanted it to be true. I don't think that it is true, especially because he's a general surgeon. I think he would know enough about these complications to know that like this surgery is a bad idea and to know that she's right.
But I also think that it is if he's looking at it as someone who cares about his patients, they would have gone somewhere else. And Arizona has been with them. She's the OG on this family.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Giving it her best is all she can do. And I think that that's the point that he's making. And it sucks because obviously it doesn't end well, but I don't know. I had a hard time kind of seeing through the motivation in that scene, but I was able to kind of see both sides of it. I think I was trying to see the optimistic side of his in this.
Yeah. Here's a question. Did you think that Wallace was going to live?
Oh no. The second he said he had a hard night, I have a note here that says he's not going to finish the episode.
Mm. So yeah, this is a sad one. I really feel like even though they explain like kids with this syndrome, like don't live long, you're like, but he's going to live. Surely he'll live.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. He gets two surgeries, right?
Does the one surgery and he is okay, but he doesn't recover from it. Like when he's in recovery is when he has like the crash.
He septic shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she decides to do the surgery. She has the thing where she pages Callie and she's like, tell me I'm great. And that's why Callie doesn't tell her what happened with Christina in Hillary's surgery. She's like, tell me I'm great. And so Callie does. And then she does the surgery and then picks the fight later. When Callie gets home and Arizona's like, you can't pick up your phone. She's like, no, not when I'm in surgery. And she's like, I fucking support you through everything. And you never do anything for me. And then Callie says, like, you know, you're picking a fight because you're upset, right? And she's like, yeah, I don't fucking care. I'm going to do it anyways.
At least she was honest.
Yeah. Yeah, and so then that's when Owen and Christina come in and they have the fight, and then Owen leaves, and then Arizona gets paged back to the hospital, and that's when Christina goes, bitches.
Yeah, when Arizona was like, you didn't tell me Christina went rogue and it involved a kid, and Callie was like, I was going to.
Yeah.
And Arizona was like, no, unacceptable. Blah, 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 blah. It's sad. It's sad. But when you have those kind of emotions, anger is an easy emotion to just let out.
Yeah. So then she goes back to the hospital and she does the surgery again. Weber comes in and he's like, can I help? And she's like, no, you can get the fuck out, because when you stand here, you make me feel like I'm operating on a stack of money. And this is a kid. So like, shut the fuck up and get out of my OR, which especially when you consider all the other like moments of interaction with her and Weber in a moment of like her kind of standing up to him. This is a big deal for her. Like she feels strongly about this.
And it's intense. It's intense as hell. And he does leave.
Yeah.
But even before that, when they had the first surgery, Weber's just standing there over her shoulder watching the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's shitty.
It's so
and we funny. Actually get a good scene from Charles. And he's like, hey, Dr. Robbins, can you just take a second? Yeah. And allow yourself to breathe.
Yeah. She's like, oh, he says, get her a washcloth. And she's like, I'm fine. And he's like, why don't you take a minute? And then she says, thank you. Like, and that's when like a really good moment for him, you know, it's a small moment, but I'm like, that's a good moment for him. Like he's empathetic, compassionate. He's reading the room, seeing other people's needs.
Yeah. Which is important for a surgeon. Not what Weber is doing.
Yeah. And so he dies. She goes out and then Charles is like, where are you going? Don't we have to tell the parents? And she's like, no, Weber and Jennings are going to do it because they're going to think that I killed their patient. And as far as I'm concerned, I did just kill him because I shouldn't have done that surgery in the first place. And I don't. And like, I'm just a liability to the hospital. She's like, is that right? And he goes, yeah, I'd say we're on the same page.
Such a fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
And you can tell Jennings, these people know when you're that wealthy, you're smart. You know what's going on.
Yeah.
And he is just so far up this couple's fucking rectum.
Yep. Right on.
Do you need us to could pack this up. We could have someone send it to you. We could and she walks in and she gets the Jennings, this is a sensitive subject. You shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Weber finally fucking sticks up for his person.
I had that note. I'm like, finally stands up to Jennings and is like standing up for his people, especially this time because he knows that they were wrong and Arizona was right. And Arizona has been with these people longer. So she's going to treat them like people.
Yeah. And he just says, let her be. And I really, truly did not see this coming. The end when she's like, do you want to see your son?
Yeah.
Would you like to see him?
Brutal. So, yeah. Well, they go to the party. She goes to the party after Wallace has died. She walks in, surprise, immediate tears. Just tears. And everyone's just standing there like, oh, no.
And then
Mark's just like, fucking knew it. No one ever.
Told ya.
No one listens to me. I'm just a pretty face around here. No one ever fucking has any listens to me at all.
Yeah.
So, Kelly goes after her and she's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I shouldn't have thrown you this party. I thought like it was a nice thing to do. And Arizona's like, no, it's not the party. Like, Wallace died and like he's supposed to be turning 11. Like, I think the fact, like, I wonder what the impact of this is to Arizona if they don't have the same birthday and this kid has not just died on his birthday and her birthday. And now they just at this party. I mean, I do think she definitely has a connection with this kid in this family, so she would have been upset regardless. But I'm like, this just takes it to the other level.
Well, it puts your mortality into perspective too.
Yeah.
And anytime someone dies who's close to you,
it is
shit. And it's not easy. But yeah, like if someone who has the same birthday as me died, or when you go through someone who you went to high school with.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you see anytime a kid dies.
Yeah.
People younger than
people you go to high school with died when you were in high school.
Yes. I had one person.
Same.
Drug related.
Cancer. And then my sister, someone in her class also passed away of cancer.
Mm. That sucks.
It was really awful. Also because my school was smaller, it was like one of those things where like, you really know a lot of the people in the school. Yeah, and so it was just like, it kind of just like affected the whole student body. It was bad. It was not good times. It was bad. But yeah, it's hard, but especially, when there's like a young person who passes away, it's definitely a lot harder and you just never see it coming. That's like the whole thing of like, oh, you know, live in the moment. You never know how long we have. Life is short. And it's like, that's the shit. Like, that's what people are talking about is because, like, you just don't know. Like, anything can happen.
Yeah. Just, life is truly so is short. And you got to think 11 years is a short time to have a kid.
Yeah.
And how many of those years were tough because of the disease?
Yeah. And it just sucks because it's like these people who have everything and they have access to everything and they have just endless amounts of money and they have this child who is sick and they're bound to the hospital and, you know, they're doing everything they can. And in every other aspect of their life, money solves all their problems. And this is the one where it doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, you just never know like what hand you're going to get dealt.
Yeah.
In so many aspects.
Yeah, it's really just shitty. I think Arizona would have taken it hard anyways. And also, they've had a rough... I don't know how you can work in peds.
Yeah. And stay like that optimistic and happy all the time.
And even though they're writing her like this and she's playing it like this, there are people out there who are like this.
Yes. I don't understand it. I mean, like, where we worked at Disney, I'm like, okay, it's easier to understand. because we're like mostly dealing with like Disney, like it's happy people. I mean, yeah, there's like a lot of people who are shitty and dumb and loud and like complaining, but ultimately like it's Disney World. Like it's a good place to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, so a job where you're constantly, well, I mean, when Bailey is going through that phase of like thinking about maybe joining Pete's, Arizona says it's like, oh, this is what it's about. Like it's about saving these lives, you know? And then she shows her like, oh, you know, see the joy. And then there's the whole thing with Derek, and the kid in the first episode of this season where they like figure out about the tethered spinal cord. And Derek says like, you're the one who's given this kid his entire future. Like you should do it. And I think it does make those moments even like more, like it just gives them more weight as well. But yeah, I don't know how people do it. I don't know how people do like pediatric oncology. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Just like have like, you just, I mean, thank God that people feel called to do these things and care for children in this way, but to just like have a job where you're every day just handing people the worst news of their life. Like, I don't know.
Couldn't do it. I could not do it.
No.
Well, Peds needs good people, like Bailey said, and maybe Alex is going to be new to that. But before we tackle the rest of this episode, let's take a quick moment from our regional sponsors.
One of the best things about finishing a great book is knowing that you have another one ready to go in your to-be-read pile. With Book of the Month, you can make sure that your to-be-read pile stays stocked and ready to go. Each month, you can use the app to select from 5 to 7 titles vetted and curated by the team at Book of the Month, focusing specifically on debut authors and early releases. If you can't choose just one, you can always upgrade and add more from your selection. And if that TBR pile starts to get a little too tall, you can skip as many months as you need to give yourself a little extra time to catch up on what you have. Personally, I am a huge fan of suspense and psychological thrillers, so I was very excited to see multiple books on the selection list for May that fit that description. I selected 2 different titles, both of which are set in Washington State, just like our favorite show, Grey's Anatomy. I thoroughly enjoyed The Return of Ellie Black, the first thriller novel from Amiko Jean, and have Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch ready to read on my road trip next week. Right now, you can sign up for Book of the Month and use code PETALS to get your first book for only $5. That's code PETALS, PETALS, to get your first book for only $5. Watch out for that blue box at your door and get your TBR pile stocked and ready.
And we are back.
What a shift.
What a shift.
break the tension.
Yeah, man. Couldn't have come at a more perfect time. But seriously, I don't want to get too soapboxy here and like too personal, but I will sometimes just look at Marlo on the monitor or like while she's sleeping, or I will look at pictures that I've taken with us and with Jess, like all of us together. And Jessica and I will just sit there and like just cry and think, what the fuck would life even be without this little perfect angel? And the scene when Arizona and the mom are doing the no bad dreams, only good dreams, like the little go away. What is it?
Bad dreams, go away. Good dreams, here to stay.
Yeah. And the mom can't get through it and Arizona finishes it up. Like that's when I started crying and I'm like, this just, it's so heartbreaking. And I know that they weren't physically in the room when he passed because it was in surgery.
Yeah.
I just can't begin to wrap my head around the whole here one second, gone the next thing with a kid.
Yeah.
Like, shit, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. It's brutal. Like, I don't want to think about it. It's terrible. Yeah, she takes her to the morgue. And Wallace said, you know, before he goes to the surgery with Arizona, he's like, all these kids come in and they're not here that long and they're here for shorter than I am. and then they die. Like, they're supposed to be fine and then they die. And she's like, well, you know, no one said you're dying. And he says, like, they say it's like going to sleep, but what if I go to sleep and I have nightmares? I'm like, that is so sad and so pure, so innocent, and so heavy all at the same time. And then, so yeah, then when they're in the morgue, and they do that, it's just like, ouch.
Yeah. And I'll tell you,
Arizona finishes it. And then the dad's like, this woman is why we're still giving you this money. Cause we actually don't give a fuck about what you think about us. But like, this woman not only got our son here, but like cared about him like so much and cares about us.
Yeah. And when she actually says like, you gotta do it three times for it to work.
Yeah.
Just fucking daggers right to the damn heart. Mm-hmm. And I will end with this on the dead kid thing, because obviously it's such a heavy topic. It's one of those things where, and grief comes in so many different waves and emotions are just so unpredictable. But especially last month when we were in the season of, when we had to put Grievous down, it was one of those things where we would sit there and we would be like, this just sucks so much.
Yeah.
At least Marlo is healthy. And then we'll sit there and like, it's so things can get put into perspective so quickly and like jarringly. Even when her car died and we had to get her a new car and it was super expensive. And I was like, I would rather buy you a new car than have to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in hospital bills because we have a sick kid or a kid with cancer. And that may happen someday. And like, if that does, we'll tackle that. But like, knock on wood, we both of us have healthy children, and it's so many kids out there are unhealthy. And it's just, like you said, treasure those moments, treasure those times. Make those memories, be present, find fulfillment. But people need to, you know, the people who have that calling need to, she just portrays Arizona so freaking well.
Yeah. And like, I just wish that every parent with a sick child has a doctor like that and has like support. Cause it's one thing to have like the support of a partner and the support of your loved ones, but like to also feel that your doctor is like that invested, it just, I'm sure, would take it to like another level, because like, it's just when it's so ongoing, like you have to have that relationship with the caregiver, because that person ultimately does become a caregiver in a way. It was like with Bailey and the kid when there was a serial killer and she had like had the relationship with the kid and the mom for a really long time.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's like you do need someone that cares that much. And, you know, people don't have children expecting their child to be sick. And so parents with sick children have to adjust in ways that you don't plan on adjusting until you're in it. And then you don't like know how to do it. And then you just have to do it. And you know, my heart goes out to them. And I think there's just a strength there that people don't know that they have until they have to have it. And it's admirable.
And the writing in this end scene is very, they pack a lot of emotions into that final scene, because it goes from the Christina and Hunt saying like, I can't ignore what happened and I overstepped, but come home with me. And he says, okay. Then we get Arizona with Wallace and the parents. They're still giving the money. And he literally says, not because of your ass kissing.
Yeah.
They fucking tell him, put him in his place. Then we cut to Derek and Meredith, who are trying to smush booties. She says that she's healed. And then we get the final scene, the end scene. The beautiful ribbon on top of the Arizona and Callie storyline. She's sitting, Callie is on the bed in the lawn or on the couch in lingerie, asleep. Loving it. I love it. Looking stunning.
Yeah.
And she's like, I got lingerie and hats and gifts and donuts and I have it. I'm awake. I'm totally awake. And you just get the, I love you.
Yeah.
You do? I do. And we get the, I love you too, as the title card rolls up.
Yeah, I know. It's such a good scene. And I think it goes hand in hand with like making the most of moments when you have them and like, you know, Did you say you love you when you had the chance? And I love them so much. I also wanted to say before I forget, when Arizona is crying and she's like, he's supposed to be turning 11 today, and instead he's in the morgue. It reminded me so much of Izzy and Denny being like, an hour ago he was proposing and now they're taking him to the morgue. It just really reminded me of that moment. Yeah. And they both just deliver them so well. It's just crazy.
Things happen so quickly in this show, and Shonda don't give no fuck.
Shonda is not giving anybody a minute to breathe. You know what I mean? Shonda's just nonstop firing at us.
The only person right now who's like doing okay is Meredith. She's like just in bed.
She's not anywhere near that fucking hospital.
Yeah.
This was the first episode they filmed after she had the baby. So all the other episodes when she was donating the liver or in recovery, she was still pregnant. So this was the first episode they filmed with her post birth.
Okay, cool. So she's healed.
She's healed. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any other notes.
I don't think there's anything else I had to say. I feel like there was maybe another monologue I was going to read, but now I don't remember.
Maybe. The party scene where Lexi's like, oh, this party sucks, huh? And he's like, well, and Jackson's like, well, yeah. However, I'm trying to fucking drink, so peace. Like, and he just takes the bottle
and goes to Christina's room.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, respect though. Like, if you're going to go to a party, drink. Not the kissing Christina thing, although they were on a break. but respect get your drink on, bro.
Yeah.
But I think those are actually all the notes that I have.
Yeah, I think so. Same. Yeah. Oh, at the party also, when Lexi's like, I don't understand. My best birthday ever was a surprise party. And Mark's like, the party speaks for itself. And Mark's like, how old were you at this party? And she goes, 7. And he goes, yeah.
Case and point, yeah, Your Honor.
We're adults. also, I was reading in the blog post that this is like a borderline, like it's inspired by true events. So Krista Viernoff, if you'll recall, current Grey's, well, she just stopped being the showrunner, but at this point in the series where we are, season 6, she's one of the head writers, and they were throwing her a surprise baby shower. And so Shonda had everyone at her house to surprise her, and she was like, come over. And Krista's like, I have to finish working on this episode. And she's calling everyone else who was working on it, and no one was picking up because they were all hiding at Shonda's house for this baby shower. So she's super pregnant, super frustrated because she can't get this thing done before she's supposed to go on maternity leave. So she's calling everybody. She's not getting any responses. She goes to Shonda's house after like a terrible morning and goes in, and everyone yells at her, and she just started crying.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Did she at least enjoy it, or was it the emotion?
It was like a lot of it was hormonal, and then a lot of it was also like because she had had a really bad morning trying to fix this stuff, but she couldn't do it because everyone was ignoring her.
That is so funny. Ugh, I love that. Stories like that are funny. Have you ever been to a surprise party? Like, have you ever?
I've had one throw. My sister and friends threw me one for my 16th birthday. It was really fun. I don't know that I've been to one though.
I have been to one once. Oh,
remember when Kayla got engaged? That was the surprise party.
Yeah, that's true.
Party. Yeah,
that's true. I was at a surprise.
Mark and Leah didn't know that we were all at that rental house. She may have figured it out when she pulled up and all the cars were there, but
yeah. Well, I wasn't there. I came from work afterwards. That's right. Yeah. Because I remember grabbing one of the bottles of alcohol and chugging what was left of it in the hot tub. Because I was like, I gotta catch up.
Yeah, that's right.
It was something pink and delicious. But when Steve turned 30, I drove out to Iowa for his birthday party. Was there for the surprise. Parked like down the street, like walked. And then was there for that and then had to turn around and drive home after that.
We also all went to Hoop, or not Hoop. Shoot. What's the one that was right next to Hoop? Not Whispering Canyon.
Trails End.
Trails End, for another one of Kayla's birthdays. And she didn't know we were all there.
That's true. I love Trails End.
I'm R.I.P.
Yeah. Although nothing beats Ohana.
That was some good night. That was a good night.
That was a great night. That will never happen again. Probably.
Never, my friend.
That's fair. If you have enough money, you could always slip someone a
hundo.
Yeah. My good friend Benjamin Franklin's trying to watch The View with some shrimp in the corner.
Anyways. So anything else we want to say before we rate it and make many, many predictions?
No. Let's go ahead and rate it.
I think this is a 4.7.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm a little bit lower. I'm at a 4.2.
Oh, okay. I think it's just like really, really good. And there's so much wonderful. It's just like there's not anything that really takes it over the top. I'm also just like ready for Meredith to get back in there because like.
Yeah.
It's just not the same without her.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
she puts the gray in Grey's Academy.
Well, both. She's not there. I like the character growth that we're getting from the new people we're meeting, from older characters as well. Like, what, you know, watching Alex deal with this Izzy bullshit, watching Owen kind of grow in his relationship with Christina, watching Arizona and Callie together. Great. Weber still fucking sucks. Derek isn't there enough to ruin it, so he's fine. So, you know, just good. It's a good episode.
Yeah, it was definitely a better than average episode. I just didn't think it was a 5, and
it's super memorable. Like, I think about this episode all the time, especially the good dreams part. Like, there are times when I'll wake up after having a nightmare and like I'll whisper it to myself. Like, I just have always remembered that. I find it very like catchy. I'm just have
bad
always
dreams,
remembered
bad
this
dreams,
episode
go away good
also,
dreams
the
good
surprise
dreams
party is funny to me.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm scoring it a little bit lower personally because I had to separate it and watch it in two different parts. But also I really liked the last two episodes. Like, I really liked the craziness of the hotel fire, and I really liked Derek's episode.
Yeah.
So I think it's tough. It's tough whenever you get an episode that, because you can't keep that high level adrenaline all the time, right? Yeah. Then it just becomes crazy. So, yeah, 4.2. What would you like me to predict?
Oh, so many things. First, whatever's going on with Derek and Weber.
Derek eventually will. I think Weber is on the precipice of getting his humanity back, and I think the Arizona thing helped. So next episode, they're going to talk. They're going to talk next episode.
To what end?
Like, Derek is he's going to say something to the effect of, Derek, you obviously haven't gone anywhere, but I want you to know you're unfired. Something like that.
Okay, what about Owen?
Jennings can eat a butt.
Truly.
He can eat That's several. My prediction. He can eat a butt, and not in a good way. If you're out there and you like really love doing that or having
get
it done
him,
to you, like
eating ass, eat a butt.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's make sure. Yeah, that's the differential. Eat as much ass or get your ass eaten as much as you want. But this dude can eat a butt.
Yeah, a poop butt.
Still, lick a turd. I will not eat cat poop.
Good stuff. Okay. Christina and Owen.
Something is going to happen where Jackson is going to get found out. Something is going to happen with that. There's going to be like, I don't think there's going to be a love triangle that's reciprocated, but Jackson is like the Dell to Naomi right now. He's like, I'm just going to make my feelings known, and I just don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I should have said spoiler alert. I'm so, 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 so sorry. Anyways, it's going to move on. Anyways, so if you are spoiled by that, you have no context. I'm so sorry, but don't worry about it. I didn't say anything. Forget it. But something's going to happen. Jackson is going to piss off Owen. Maybe there's a fist fight involved. Maybe the shooting. Who knows? I don't. So that's that. It's all I'm predicting right there. There's some sort of unreciprocated love triangle. April and Reed and Alex are gonna smush.
Okay.
And then Izzy's going to show up the next episode. That's my prediction. They're going to fuck. She's going to break down his walls. Izzy's going to come back the next episode. And Alex is going to say, I thought you were dead. We're over.
So when do you think that will happen?
Before season six is over.
Okay.
That's... I think they will have sex... probably within the next couple of episodes. And I think Izzy's going to be back by episode 14, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
How many episodes are in this season?
This is, I think there's 22 in this season. Let's see. This was episode 8.
Okay. So what did I just say? 14. They're going to have sex by episode 14. Izzy comes back at the end of episode 14, like literally moments after the smushing takes place.
Does she find them?
She does not.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are 24 in this episode, in this season.
Yeah.
The last two did air together.
And Charles is going to fall and hit his head again.
Cute.
Meredith's happy married thing is going to last 3 more episodes, and then she's going to be dark and stormy and gloomy and twisty again.
Okay, so sorry. You said, so this episode was episode 8. You said episode 14 is when
Alex
have
and
sex, and then
April have
Izzy
sex.
Comes back?
At the end of that episode, and then episode 15 is... going to be like the goodbye episode, I think.
Okay.
Or she's back for the rest of the season and they end with a divorce.
Okay. And then she goes away again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe she dies.
Okay.
Also, I'm getting a vibe right now.
Uh-huh.
We are going to get either in episode 9 or episode 10, we are going to get a Shadow Shepherd recurrence.
Okay.
He's coming back for something. I don't know what's going to go on, but I think he's going to be a point of... something's going to happen. I don't know. I just got a vibe. I just got a vibe about Shadow Shepherd.
What was I going to ask? Cardio person.
Yeah, I don't fucking know what's going on with that. I'm tired and pissed off that it's taken this long. And honestly, I get where Christina's frustrations are.
Yeah. Because we're also frustrated. You said Alex and Reed. You said Jackson is going to like out that he hates Christina.
April comes back next episode. Official prediction. Episode 9.
Anything with Derek and Meredith? You said they're not going to be happy anymore. Is there a reason they're not happy anymore?
No. They're going to be okay. She's just going to be unhappy. She's
just
going to
be grumpy.
Yeah, because she's going to be back at the fucking hospital. It's easy to be happy when
like
you're outside
horcrux.
Of the hospital. Yeah, it's a horcrux. Yeah.
Wait,
hold on. Spoiler alert. We have to be careful because there's actually, who the fuck was it? I don't think I told you this. Hold on. Where is it?
Spoiler? What's happening?
Yeah. Our friend Keely, she is reading the Harry Potter books
right,
for the
right.
first time.
That's right. We did talk about that.
Yeah.
That's all right. I can see Horcrux. It's not a spoiler.
I want to be careful. Okay. I don't, she said that she, when I last talked to her, she had finished the fourth book and this was Sunday.
Good for her. The sixth book is my favorite. JK Rowling sucks. Okay. There was someone else I was going to ask about. Damn it. Oh, Mark and Lexi.
Yeah, they're still getting married.
Okay. I think that might be it. Callie in Arizona. Did we say anything about them?
Married. Love it. They're getting married too. They're going to get married at the same time.
Double wedding. Oh my gosh. I worked a bridal show on Sunday and I
was it a double wedding?
These sisters who were doing a double wedding.
To the same guy?
Can, no, that's not what double wedding is. That's polygamy. It's very different. No, they're doing a double wedding. And I was like, I cannot imagine having to get four people to agree on things.
No.
It's hard enough to get two people to agree on things.
It's hard enough to get one person to agree on a thing.
Couldn't be me. Anyways, it was like, wow, what a time. Anyways.
I am, the only regret that I have from our wedding is that I never got to have any of the stuffed mushrooms.
I wish I had done a videographer. And I know
that
they're expensive, but I do regret not doing it. And I didn't really have it in my budget, but like, I wish I had one, especially like now having kids. Scarlett asks about our wedding all the time because we have that gallery wall of all the pictures. And she's like, is that when you got married? And we're like, yeah. She's like, I want to see. And I'm like, well, this is what you can see, these pictures.
The only video that exists for us is me drunkenly taking a video of freight trains at the wedding.
Yeah.
Which like also. Oh, never mind. I was going to say, I love that that happens at every wedding now, but it didn't.
No. I think it just happened at Emily's.
Yeah. I was reminded of the fact that you and Michael, Mark and Leah, and Lauren and Sean all hate me personally.
And Kayla and Chad.
Wow. Selfish. Wow. Man, all y'all are haters.
Maybe we played it at my wedding and you were in a car. You'll never know.
Can you imagine coming? Hey, Carmen!
Don't.
You gotta get out of here! Guys, I can't.
Okay. Are we done?
I can't come in there because I'm coming in here.
Stop. Oh my God.
This episode is brought to you by Starbucks scone wrappers.
Not condoms. Okay, I think that's it.
Remember when we got Sonic Jackson, before your wedding?
Charles? Anything about Charles?
Yeah, he's gonna hit his other. He's gonna hit his head again.
No,
that's my prediction. All right, I feel good. Let's call it a night. Go to sleep.
Let's do that. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening, supporting. Make sure you join our Patreon so you can get on our Discord. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Grey's Academy Pod. You can email me at greysacademypod@gmail.com. We have a TikTok. We have a Twitters. We have existence. Just like we love chatting with you guys. You can message either one of us individually. You can message my email account. You can message the Grey's account. Love hearing where you guys are, like when new people find us and they're messaging us, messaging me, and they're like a couple seasons behind. Like, I love revisiting those journeys with people. It's just so fun to hear from everybody. I know you guys are sharing because more and more people are finding us, and it's really cool to see that, and we just really appreciate it. So please just keep doing that. And remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
no spoilies. Do not spoil the show. It has been so great, such a fun journey, and just stay safe out there. There's a lot of inclement weather around us, just drive safe, walk safe, run safe, take the train safe, fly safe, just be safe. And as always, we appreciate you listening. We will see you all in the next one.